This is Put Your Phone Down Podcast. I am your host, Keisha King, or as some people call me, Keisha with the Q. I got a fabulous guest on here, and she has such a wonderful story. I couldn't wait to get her on. You guys are listening to Miss Wonderful Erica Gray. Erica is the shit. Let's just put it like that. She's a mom, and that's full-time all the time. She's a wife. She's a daughter. She's a lot of things. She's a great friend and a great listener. And Erica has such an amazing journey that, you know, I told her when the time was right, when she felt like sharing her story, would she just do me the honor of hopping on and sharing it with you all? And so without further ado, I got Erica on the phone. Erica, what's up?
Yes. Hi.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I appreciate it.
I was just saying it. Like, look, I hope you like that intro. You know, I got all deep.
I loved it.
Thank you. So we, you know, this is what we go do. We go dive right in with the heavy, you know, and then we go smooth it out. But the primary reason and the, you know, important reason why I asked you to be a guest on here is because, you know, we found out some really surprising news not too long ago. And I don't know who was more shocked, you know, but I would love for you to tell your journey about you just finding out about MS, multiple sclerosis, and, you know, just your journey. So I'm going to be quiet. I'm not even really going to ask a lot of questions. I just want you to go ahead and tell the listeners your journey and let them just listen to you.
Okay. Thank you. So my story starts the first week of April of last year. I went to Las Vegas with my husband, and I have been to Vegas multiple times, and never have I ever felt terrible in the heat. I would walk the strip, nothing would stop me. But this time in particular, I noticed something just wasn't quite right with my body. And I just kept ignoring it, thinking, oh, maybe it's because I put on a couple extra pounds. Oh, maybe it's because I'm getting older. Just giving myself all type of excuses why I felt so bad every time I stepped out in the heat. Well, I came home and May 28th of that same year of last year, I woke up to go to brunch on a Saturday, and I had partial vision loss in my left eye. I did what so many other women do, especially women that have families. We put ourselves last. So I made excuses. All cataracts run in my family. Maybe it's a cataract. Maybe it's something wrong with my contact. Okay, well, maybe I'll get a new pair. Just multiple different excuses as to why I had partial vision loss. I still went to brunch. I get to brunch and I started to develop a headache. I took ibuprofen. That did not help. The same night, I just felt terrible. So this was the Saturday before Memorial Day, and the headache just persisted. And on Tuesday, I contacted an ophthalmologist that was able to see me the same day. And he ran various tests. And when he was done, he set me down and he said, do you have an autoimmune disease? I said, no. He said, well, I believe you have MS. That's what it looks like. But you need to go get an MRI so we can check your brain. And that was the beginning of my journey. I got the MRI on Wednesday, and by Friday, I was in so much pain that I could not take it anymore. I had such an excruciating migraine. The vision loss just kept it just progressed. It just kept getting worse. Went to the emergency room and I just prayed all the way there. And I'm thinking, okay, they'll give me something for inflammation and pain and send me home. And I called you and asked you to come with me to the hospital. And you did meet me there, which to this day I am so grateful for. So I was not there alone. And I just thought, okay, this is, it's nothing serious. And so they kept me. I was in the hospital, I believe, 6 days. At the end of that hospital stay, I had had countless blood tests, another thoracic MRI, which was of my spine. I had already had the MRI done of my brain that same week, and I still had no answers. Even with the spinal tap that was conducted, still no answers. I even went over to UIC, attempted to obtain a definitive diagnosis. Do I have it? Do I not have it? You know, every doctor that I saw kept telling me, we don't want to give you a clear diagnosis, but treat yourself as if you have it, which was frustrating to me. And a year went past, and I did just that. I treated myself as though I had it. So I took all of the necessary precautions and tried to alter my diet and stay out of the heat. No extra hot showers, keep the sun off of my head. Everything, the textbook precautionary measures that they tell you to take while you have MS to prevent another flare-up. That's what I did. I was on steroids for about, was 2 to 3 weeks after I was released from the hospital. That was terrible in itself. I had a migraine from May 28th. The migraine did not subside until maybe about the middle to the end of September. So to go through 4 months with a every single day you wake up with a migraine, it was exhausting. And I will admit it had become depressing. I had no answers. I was in pain. I just felt like nobody would help me. And I have the same story as so many other Black women have, that we are kind of swept underneath the rug. But I wouldn't give up. So once the migraine subsided, I saw my nurse practitioner this year just for a regular physical. And I asked her, would she refer me to someone? Would she recommend someone to me as far as a neurologist to help me treat my migraines? Because they were coming back again. And she did refer me to a great doctor. His name is Dr. Indira Khan. And I asked him, you have access to my MRI from last year. Can you look at it? And he did. And I said, I just want a clear diagnosis. And he did. He looked at it. He reviewed all of my test results. And he turned around and looked me in my eyes. And he said, okay, I have good news. I said, okay. I'm thinking he's going to tell me, no, you don't have it. He said, you don't have any lesions on your spine. I said, okay. He said, but you clearly have MS. I don't understand why it took a whole year for anybody to give you an answer. And he pointed out what test was positive. And he said, you clearly have brain lesions. I don't understand why you couldn't get an answer. But I felt like I didn't get an answer because I needed to be in his office. I needed to be under his care. If I would have gotten an answer earlier from another doctor, I would have continuously seen that doctor, I'm sure. But he did refer me to a doctor that specializes in MS patients. And I have been really, really blessed to have had such wonderful people and the Lord on my side through everything. So, yeah, I will say that my journey really has taught me, do not put yourself last. If something does not feel right, it's probably not right. You know your body better than anybody else. And if you're not getting answers, don't stop until you do.
So, man, I know we talked a lot during this journey, but just kind of being silent and hearing everything you went through, and I know you cut it in half, especially about the headaches and the depression, but when it comes to MS, do you know if it just starts off with headaches? How, you know, do you know the many symptoms that it can do? Because I know a lot of people like you and myself get a little headache, and like you said, I mean, who's thinking, oh, well, let me go to the doctor, you know, when right. A headache, mostly, you know, you think it's a sinus headache or just a stress headache, a tension headache. So does it come in different forms?
Okay, so my migraines stem from the nerve damage from my vision loss. So the clinical term for my vision loss was optic neuritis. So that's just an inflammation. You know, neuritis is inflammation. That's just the definition of that. But it was just the inflammation of the optic nerves. So when I saw the doctor, my neurologist, Dr. Gupta, that specializes in treating MS patients, I asked her, are migraines and MS directly related? And she said, no, not really. She said, your migraines stem from nerve damage that you sustained from the optic neuritis. And I did see a neuro-ophthalmologist, and he told me that because my optic nerves were so inflamed that I do have permanent nerve damage from the optic neuritis. So that's where that stems from. So no, it doesn't necessarily correlate with MS, but because my optic nerves were so inflamed, that's what caused the migraines. So I'll have those probably forever. I know how to treat them now. I'm on two different types of medications to treat them, and they have gotten so much better. Thank God.
So you was dealing with like migraines daily until you went and you had to knock on all these doors, you know, until you found somebody. And I just kind of want to touch on that because, you know, we go around medicating ourselves because a lot of the time, and I'm really just echoing what you said, a lot of the time, the medical field may ignore something, or you have to pretty much bully them into what's wrong with me. You know, meanwhile, you feeling like shit every day. Like you said, you know something is wrong. You yes. know something is off. You know these headaches is just not something normal. You know this. So it's like, I'm wondering what we could do to get the medical people to take it more seriously. You know, they got these commercials out and they haven't came out in a while, but you know, it's somebody in the doctor's office, right? And the doctor is telling them everything and they like, so you got any questions? And it shows the patient like, no, I'm good. But the commercial is leaning more towards ask your doctors this, that, and the third. But when you go in there with a list, and I know people who have like, well, okay, can I keep you a little bit longer? Mm-hmm. Can I talk to you about something else? It's almost like they keep you on one topic and they be like, okay, they'll send their nurse practitioner in there. And you're like, no, I really want to just talk to my doctor at this point because, you know, I'm lost in the sauce. So you've been dealing with this. And you've been doing a damn good job of just kind of like keeping it. But moving forward, you know, what else have they told you to do and handle this? Because it's like I kind of got thrown off when you said they was telling you to act as if you did have it. It's like, well, how is that helping you? So now that you have it and you kind of got, you know, some knowledge on it, what's next with this?
So what I did was I had to do extensive research on my own and find out what could trigger a flare up, what to stay away from. So I did heat will trigger a flare up. It will make you feel so terrible. And my new normal is trying to minimize heat exposure, as sad as that is. So in the summertime, you know, in Northwest Indiana, we only get two seasons. That's my philosophy. It's either hot or cold. So
agreed.
So I feel like when it's warm, I can't even be outside if it's too hot. You know, today, for example, me and my family went to the beach. So I used to go out to the beach, be in the sun. I would put sunglasses on, but I would never wear anything on my head or be underneath a beach umbrella. And because I do have a 13-year-old daughter, I don't want her to miss out on a lot of fun activities during the summer because she has a mom with an autoimmune disease. So I'm just taking extra precautionary measures. I'm at the beach under the big beach umbrella, sunglasses on, a big floppy hat, just so that I'm shielding myself from the heat. I don't stay out too long if it's too hot. Another thing that will trigger it, if you get a cold, flu, strep, anything of that nature. And I will touch base on that. Right before I got sick and had the vision loss, I had a cold for 3 straight weeks. I could not shake it. My daughter had the cold. My husband had the same cold. We all had a cold. Everybody shook it within a week. Well, them two did, except me. And the day that I felt better, I said, okay, I'm going to book. And I woke up with vision loss. So I went to the different doctors, and 3 different doctors asked me, were you sick before you lost your vision? And I said, yes. And I asked them, is that a correlation between the flare up and having a cold? And they said, it could be. Well, of course, no definitive answer. So I had to do my own research. And yes, it is. So just try to stay clear of anybody that's sick. So if you see me out in Northwest Indiana with still wearing my mask, this is why. I cannot afford to get sick.
Look, I totally understand that shit because, you know, it's still a baby to you. You know what I mean? Like you really, all you can do at this point is, like you said, continue to educate yourself, continue to do what you can to protect you, because the sniffles is 2-3 days, but if it's gonna lay you flat for 3 weeks, close to a month, then shit, wear a whole goddamn mummy wrap. I'm cursing all good all on this podcast. I ain't never cursed this much, and it's a heavy topic, okay? But we getting a word out. And I think that that is so important because, you know, like I said at the beginning, all jokes aside, it threw, I believe, everybody around you for a loop. It was like, huh? You know, like,
right.
I think we were all kind of hoping like, well, maybe it's something they overlooked. Maybe it has MS-like symptoms, but not MS, especially the way that they were stringing you along. You know, you kind of think that, you know, the way that they was kind of hopping you around, naturally you like, well, this can't be MS because they would have found it. You know what I'm saying? But you really and truly, I heard you mention Chicago, and then it was different places around here, back and forth, Indiana, and nobody is telling you anything except for one. They all holding on to this one big secret. Like, I'ma take you back. I know you remember this. We were in the hospital, and they were telling you different things, and it was just like, well, do I have it? You would have one that was like, oh, the doctor didn't come in. Like, it was a top secret, but yeah, it's you. It's like, okay, how come you just can't let this woman know before she leaves this hospital what it is? Like, everybody was being top secret, and I get it because I have heard that a lot of doctors don't want to misdiagnose, but still, you still had this big question mark over you.
I did, and Dr. Gupta, the MS neurologist, she actually pulled up my MRI, and she pulled up on her computer screen the one from that I had performed last year and the one this year, and she showed me. She said, "I'm going to explain to you something called Dawson fingers." And she said a lot of MS patients, like most of them, have, she said, looks like fingers that protrudes out the top of your brain. And she pointed to them on my MRI. She said, "You have them." She said, "It looks like three spreaded out fingers in yours. Sometimes it's four, but they are just protrusions at the top of your brain that you can see on an MRI. And that is another indicator of a positive MS result." You know, the good thing was, year over year, there was no more extra lesions. So the lesions had not grown, nor did I develop any new ones, nor did they didn't grow in size, no new ones, anything of that nature. So that was a positive. I was grateful for that, because it could have went totally different. So she told me she believes that I don't have, from the looks of the two MRIs year over year, I don't have a progressive case, which is a blessing, but she is trying to start me on a medication that will slow the progression of it. And the medication costs are ridiculous. You know, we could be on here for hours and I could vent about that, but even with insurance through my job, my prescription a month would be $1,100, and that's the generic form. So, you know, it's, I always say this, it's money in the treatment, but not the cure. I know it's no cure for this, but, you know, I feel bad for people that cannot afford their medication. I feel bad for myself, because I am an average American living through the inflation crisis, and that is a lot of money for medication for something that I need, but that's in the whole different topic. But yeah
if this was, man, that's why I'm so glad I do audio, because the way my face just hit, girl, you don't understand when you said that. I'm like, I mean, yeah, that's a whole nother topic, and I was about to go deep dive in medication and how we are all suffering. But I want to just give a shout out to you about just your story and educating us. I also want to give a shout while we are talking about this shortly to an MS organizer by the name of Stephanie Crook. Stephanie had a 5K in Portage that I went to, and I went in honor of Erica and another young lady by the name of Kalitha. And when I tell you, she has it as well. And she was so supportive. She was, you know, challenging me on as I walked the 5K. And so I just like to say, if there's anybody who wants to know, who is curious about MS, if you might, it doesn't even have to be you. If it's a family member, please do your due diligence like Erica did. If you keep getting migraines and you know, let's say that that's something that you used to having, look into it deeper. Look into it a tad bit deeper. If your eyesight is getting blurry, look into it. Because, you know, if you listen to Erica's story intently, she had no clue. You know, me and Erica, we kick it hard, you know? So it's like, when we would be out hanging out, it's not like either one of us was like, "Hey, you good? How's your MS?" Like, we had absolutely no clue. You know, I'm an asthmatic, so if you see me breathing heavy, you pretty much know, like, "Hey, girl, get that little inhaler, little wheezy." But, you know, I couldn't do that for you. So we got a few more minutes. And as I told the listeners, we're going to start off heavy and end out a little sweet. Speaking of sweet, Erica also is a dynamic cook. She loves cooking, and you know, she likes with the dessert. So I want to say she made this even more of a superpower, because, you know, I know that you are dealing with the illness in the best way that you can, but I think getting in that kitchen might lift your spirits to see that it's making other people smile. And Erica is a beast with the desserts. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But Erica,
yes,
I want you to talk about these desserts because I know for a fact people are supporting you in a lot of ways. So I want this to be your next business. I keep saying that. So with the few minutes that I have you on here, I really want you to talk about your desserts and your passion for cooking too.
Okay, I'm going to make this short as possible. So my mother is my greatest inspiration. Anybody that has known me, I don't care if you've known me for a month or two, you will hear me talk about my mother in some capacity. That was my best friend, my cheerleader. You know, she lost her battle with breast cancer in 2015. And I always knew how close we were, but I didn't understand how great of an impact she had made on my life until she wasn't here. And I love to cook. I do love to bake. And I got that from her. My mother was always coming up with different recipes, different new things to try in the kitchen. So I do bake. My new craze now has been this strawberry shortcake banana pudding. I came up with the recipe on my own one night. I swear my mother came to me and told me, go in the kitchen and try it. And if it don't work, you don't have to make it again. And it has been a bestseller. I mean, one of my husband's coworkers was buying one a week for me for about a month and a half. He would buy one a week. So that has been a bestseller. Everybody loves the strawberry shortcake banana pudding. Yes.
So we got the strawberry shortcake banana pudding.
Regular banana pudding.
I just couldn't say it right. I'm pudding. Then we got these delicious brownies. I know you play around with the brownies. I love those.
Yes, the brownies.
What else? I think you dabble in like cupcakes. Go, Erica.
It's not much that I don't. I do these butter toffee cookies, and that is another huge hit. Everybody loved them. Those are a good seller, best seller for me. I will make a strawberry shortcake cheesecake cake. I know that is a mouthful, but it's basically a two-layer strawberry cake with a whole cheesecake in the middle for the filling. And I coat the outside with crumbles like you get off of the Good Humor bar and then decorate it. So that one was another good bestseller for me as well. So yes, it's not much that I won't try. Now you give me a minute, you give me an idea, I can kind of work with it and capitalize on it. But this whole venture is really in its infancy, and I've just been praying, and it actually is such a stress reliever for me because it helps me take my mind off of a lot that's going on with me.
And I think that that's dope. So everybody understand, Erica is overcoming a lot. And if she can get up and play around in that kitchen, and it brings her happiness, brings her closer to her mom, it brings a smile on people's face, I want you all, go by my word, for real. These sweets, let me tell you something, they all right with me. So I put a seal of approval. Erica, you got to let them know how they can contact you, because if there's anybody who listening that got a sweet tooth, I want y'all to know this girl do not play. So you got can they hit you on your Facebook? What can they contact you at?
Facebook Messenger would be the best place to inbox me. I do check it all day. So that would be the best place to message me. I am slightly harassing my daughter to create a separate social media page for me. She's being a little reluctant, as most 13-year-olds are. It's all about her. But again, that's another show. But yes, please inbox me under Erica Gray, and I will respond.
She will respond. This is her business, y'all. And I'm telling y'all, she is awesome at damn near everything she does. I want to thank you. And I think I'm going to go over a little over 30 minutes, but that's okay. Hopefully, with the good old podcast, it does not kick me off. It does it every time I go over 30. But I want to thank you for hopping on the podcast. I want to thank my listeners. If you ride in that car and this touched you, please don't hesitate in sharing it. Sharing is caring. So guys, again, this was such a heavy and powerful podcast. If you or anyone dealing with some symptoms, you're not feeling your best, you're feeling sluggish, whatever it is, please go as hard as you can to make sure you above ground another day. Just go a little bit harder for you. And in the meantime, find some happiness. If your passion is the kitchen, you go in that kitchen. You never know what other page the Lord has for you. This, I'm speaking to business in Erica's life anyway. We just coming up with some names, so don't y'all worry about that. But support her and Stephanie Crook. Look her up. She has, again, this 5K for MS, the MS Warriors. It is awesome. So with that being said, you all, thank you for putting your phone down. I love y'all, and welcome again to season 3.